people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and fought to die to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my countrymen, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you walk it on right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on Light Resistance Radio. .com. Well, I'm going to be devoting a fair deal of this show today to the issue of China and the coronavirus. Now, the coronavirus began in filth in China and because of cultural practices. And I want to emphasize that. Now, I know people say it's all fair to blame all Chinese, and of course it isn't fair to blame all Chinese. And not all Chinese follow those cultural practices. And what I mean is the practice of the wet market. Chinese love fresh meat, and that's fine. We do too. More controversially, they love to eat just about anything, from bats to snakes and so on. They like those creatures fresh. A wet market is a market where these animals are kept prior to being bought. And often they're kept in filthy conditions where they're urinating and defecating on themselves, on each other, and with blood and perspiration and all those, and heat and moisture, and needless to say, it's not that difficult for illness to spread. And with people, improperly eaten, improperly cooked meat, or people with a cut, on occasion, viruses that are particular to animals have leapt into the human kingdom. That happened with SARS. It appears it happened with this current coronavirus. Add to that, of course, the cover-up and the lies of the Red Chinese government. They've got a lot to answer for. And
it's certainly my, this is a matter of race realism. Race, or if you want, culture, plays a role in human behavior. We're not all the same, we're not all equal. And their culture, or the culture practiced by some Chinese, has led to this. And I think there's every reason to be concerned. Also, again, we don't have all the figures, but the spread of the virus, it came out of China. And it came almost exclusively on with people who were Chinese, who then infected others. At first, and see, because we're not always told, and there've been a fair number of deaths in old folks' homes, and where the virus has somehow gotten in and spread. My guess, especially in British Columbia and in the state of Washington, is that some of these homes were partially Chinese. Somebody returned from China and infected some of the people there, or a person there, who then infected others. President Trump and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo have been quite clear that this is a Chinese virus, or in the case of Secretary Pompeo, he called it the Wuhan virus. And both have been challenged by the cultural Marxists, or the politically correct press, which does not want realism. And they use the word, this is the weaponized word that's supposed to silence you, and that is racist. And President Trump shot back, it's not racist, it's true. Or he says it's China. And that is the correct answer. The correct answer is not to debate racism, because it's hard to deny the charge of racism, simply because it's so fluid. What does it mean? And that's great if you can use a term that somebody cannot refute, because it's pretty hard to get your teeth into it. Some people, of course, when accused of racism, become defensive and say, oh no, I'm not racist, my best friend is black, or my sister is married, or my brother is married to a Chinese, or whatever. Or I love Ethiopian food, or something like that. And that always comes across as lame, even if true. Simply because the term racist is so vague, but it is so damning, unfortunately, in our society. That's why I strongly recommend Jared Taylor's response, and that is, no, I'm a race realist, and that focuses on the fact that race is important. Race is a factor. And those cultural Marxist idiots, and they're hypocrites, who say race is just a social construct. That means race doesn't even really exist. Well, sure it exists. Ask any black, what are you? Oh, geez, I don't know. No, I'm black, or whatever the current term is, African American, or Negro, or whatever. But they're under no illusion of what they are. They don't need a white man to tell them that they're black. When it comes to bellying up to the bar for benefits for minorities, you don't have to tell a Canadian Native Indian, listen, if you live on a reservation, you don't have to pay taxes, federal tax, sales tax. He doesn't scratch his head and say, well, yes, I don't even really know what I am. Maybe I'm black, or maybe I'm Chinese. Come on. Race is not a social construct. Race is a reality. Okay, well, let's look first at this thing called the wet markets. Why they're called wet markets, and what health risks they might pose.
A wet market in Wuhan, China is catching the blame for the problem as the probable source for the current coronavirus outbreak that's sweeping the globe. Anyway, and now this is suddenly, before I say that, patients who came down with the disease at the end of December all had connections to the Hunan seafood market in Wuhan, China. The complex of stalls selling live fish, meat, and wild animals is known in the region as a wet market. Researchers believe the new virus probably mutated from a coronavirus common in animals and jumped over to humans in the Wuhan Bazaar. This author visited the Tai Po wet market in Hong Kong, and it's quite obvious why the term wet is used. Live fish in open tubs splash water all over the floor. The countertops of the stalls are red with the blood as fish are gutted and filleted right in front of the customer's eyes. Live turtles and crustaceans climb over each other in boxes. Melting ice adds to the slush on the floor. There's lots of water, blood, fish scales, and chicken guts. Things are wet. At the Tai Po market, and that's in Hong Kong, it would be better than the ones in Wuhan. It would be maybe a little cleaner. At the Tai Po market, a woman who runs a shellfish stall, she only wants to give her name as Mrs. Wong. She's in the Wong profession. says people blame wet markets for spreading disease. But she says that's not fair. Just like about everyone else in the market, Wong is wearing a surgical face mask because of the coronavirus outbreak. She's heard about the link between the wet markets in Wuhan, China, and the coronavirus, but doesn't think something like that would happen in Hong Kong. It's much cleaner in the Hong Kong markets. It's so different from what's happening in mainland China, she says. When I go to mainland China and I'm trying to eat something, I'm concerned about what's in the food. Aha! Meanwhile, this kind of market is not just an Asian phenomenon. There are similar markets all over the world, places where fish, poultry, and other animals are slaughtered and butchered right on the premises. Researchers of zoonotic diseases, that is, diseases that jump from animals to humans, pinpoint the wet markets in mainland China as particularly problematic for several reasons. First, these markets often have different kinds of animals, some wild, some domesticated, but not necessarily native to that part of Asia. The stress of captivity in these chaotic markets weakens the animal's immune system and creates an environment where viruses from different species can mingle, swap bits of genetic code and spread from one species to another. According to biologist Ken Olival, vice president of the for research at the Echo Health Alliance. When that happens, occasionally a new strain of an animal virus gets a foothold in humans and an outbreak like this occurs. The Tai Po market in Hong Kong does have some live animals besides the seafood, but the selection is rather boring compared to the exotic assortment of snakes, mammals, and birds on offer in some markets in mainland China. They're known to sell animals such as the Himalayan palm civets, raccoon dogs, wild boars, and cobras. The only live birds at Tai Po are chickens, which are kept in the butchered pork section of the market. Chan Su Chung has been selling chickens here for more than 10 years. He says the business is really good right now because of the price of pork. His main competition is going through the roof. Pork is in short supply due to trade tensions between China and the U.S. and a recent bout of swine flu, which resulted in huge herds of swine having to be destroyed, therefore causing a shortfall in pork and therefore a rise in prices. So people are buying more chicken. Customers can select a live bird from Chung's cages. Chung pulls them out by their feet, holds them upside down to show off their plump breasts. If the customer is happy with the bird, Chung puts a plastic bag with a number on the chicken's foot. He gives the customer a matching tag, sort of like a coat check. 15 minutes later, the shopper can come back and pick up the chicken meat. Chung says he and his colleagues do their best to keep the area clean. They wash down the stalls and regularly disinfect the countertops to stop germs from spreading. Chung, however, is one of the few people in the market who is not wearing a face mask.
face masks are now so common in Hong Kong since the coronavirus outbreak that pharmacies across the city are sold out of them, just like in much of North America. Chung says he isn't afraid of the coronavirus, and there's a little bit of more further detail that I don't think is especially relevant to our story here. But that is an interesting report on what a wet market is and why it's important to assign the blame to cultural practices in China. And that's nothing more than race realism. By the way, many of the important figures that we need in this are important information, like the racial breakdown of who is getting it. I said now the racial breakdown, not the countries primarily, but the racial breakdown is in many cases not available, or for instance, where I'm very interested in where some of the early cases in North America, especially in British Columbia and the state of Washington. The state of Washington, until very recently, has been one of the major hotbeds. We know that the virus came from Asia. Interestingly, today there were statistics published in Canada, the focus was actually on the opposite of what I'm interested in, but saying that there now seems to be more of a community spread, because most of the cases until recently seem to be have come from what are called travelers. Well, that means people who've been in, they won't say this, but primarily in China or in Iran. Or people who have had close contact with them, as in close family members. Well, at the present time, we're told that about 48% of the Canadian cases are travelers. That would mean presumably, people from China or Iran. And we know that anecdotally is true in Vancouver. So that's 48% of what are called travelers. A further 7% are people who had close contact with those travelers, so we're up to 55%. And then much of the rest is community spread. Now, again, is it spread within that or that ethnic community, like primarily Iranians and Chinese, or is it spread among a more general community? Well, we're probably both. Here's another example of where race realism comes into play. Here's an article from The Guardian, the British left-wing newspaper. Outbreaks of xenophobia in the West as coronavirus spreads. Incidents of hostility toward Asian people reported in Asia. that doesn't make much sense, does it? Reported in Italy, France, Canada, and the UK. Oh, we're all bad, aren't we? We're being mean to those people. Let's see if we can winkle a few facts out of the usual boo-hoo story. It's your fault. Or as little Greta, who apparently I think she's been tested positive, or she thinks she might have gotten the the virus. Little Greta Thunberg, little publicity whore. She's now
self-isolating. Anyway, we'll leave Greta for tonight. Chinese people in Western countries where there have been cases of Wuhan coronavirus have said they've become the targets of racist abuse as paranoia mounts over the outbreak. Oh, hang on a sec here. Chinese people in Western countries where there have been cases of Wuhan coronavirus have become targets of racist abuse and paranoia. Really? Okay, well, paranoia is exaggerated fear. An exaggerated fear. Well, where did coronavirus come from? China? Yeah. And where it is particularly virulent in Iran, where did it come from? Well, the Iranians, because of Western sanctions, do a lot of business with China. We now know that patient number one was either Chinese or had recently visited China, and that's what seemed to have brought the virus, which has gone wild, to Iran. In Italy, the European country with the highest number of Chinese tourists, the confirmation of two confirmed cases, a couple who arrived in Milan from Wuhan on January 23rd. Look, that's like only two days ago, on a Lunar New Year holiday, coincided with the incidence of xenophobia and calls to avoid Chinese restaurants and shops. Well, wouldn't that make some sense? You want to avoid contact with people who may, unless you know differently, have recently been in China, or in that area of China, or who have been with people who've been with people. And in the real world, here we are again with race realism, unless you know that person very well, how do you know where they or their close associates have been? Well, you don't. And isn't it prudent to avoid them? Well, fast forward, doesn't even seem like very long. What did Canada's lost, morally, government decree today? Well, they decreed that as of tonight, all returning people, no matter where they're returning from, the United States, China, Iran, Europe, Australia, doesn't matter. All returning Canadians must go into a 14-day quarantine. And those who do not will be subject to fines or even arrest. Get that. Now, you're targeting the Chinese. Now we're targeting all returning people. Doesn't matter where they're returning from. Now, the vast majority of them will have had no contact with the coronavirus. The vast majority of them will be punished by having to go into this self-isolation for 14 days. And they're told not even to stop at a grocery store on the way home. Go directly from the airport to your residence. Furthermore, if you're taking another flight, you must go into quarantine at the first city you land in. So supposing you land in Vancouver, but you live in Kelowna, British Columbia. Well, you'd land in Vancouver and then take another flight to Kelowna. No, you must go into quarantine at the first port of call, in that case Vancouver, and apparently the government will provide you with a quarantine quarters. And you can understand why many returning travelers these past number of days, especially as
Sunday marked the end of March break for many people in Canada, including students in Ontario. Even people who'd driven to, say, to the United States, on coming back, even though they'd been told to go into quarantine, stop off at for a coffee or stop off at a grocery store, maybe even stop off to get some gas. No. And if that's reported, they, from now on, as of midnight, Wednesday night, would be in trouble. Now, that's pretty draconian. That is treating all of these people as if they potentially have Wuhan virus or the coronavirus. Is that fair? Well, I leave it up to you to decide whether it's fair. But if you think it is fair, we can't take the risk, and there's certainly a case to be made for that, I think. If you take that position, then surely you must take the position that being suspicious of Chinese people, unless you know them and know that they have not been to China within the last couple of months and have not been close to anybody who's been to China within the last couple of months, unless you know them that well, then you are probably quite sensible to avoid them. And that's not racist or xenophobia or paranoia. If the government is doing that to all returning Canadian travelers, then surely people are entitled to equal concern.
Back to the article, the Boohoo article, but as I say, we try to dig within it. Roberto Giuliani, the director of the Santa Cecilia's Conservatory in Rome, one of the oldest music institutes in the world, was criticized by colleagues on Wednesday after telling students from China, Japan, and South Korea not to come to class until after a doctor has visited their homes to ensure that they have not contracted the virus. Well, that is in Professor Giuliani is perfectly sensible in what he's requesting. He doesn't say you can't come to class, or no Chinese allowed, or no people from South Korea. South Korea is another hotbed, although they seem to have gotten on top of it there. He's saying for them not to come until a doctor has certified that they do not have the virus. Well, we don't even get that chance if you're a returning visitor to Canada. I'm sorry, a Canadian returning to Canada. You're not even given that privilege. Go immediately to a doctor and get tested. No. You go into self-quarantine. See what I mean? And this is where race realism helps us navigate our way around the world. La Repubblica published a photograph on its website showing a cafe near the Trevi Fountain in Rome with a sign saying outside, "All people coming from China were barred from eating." Well, makes sense. More than 300,000 Chinese people live in Italy, and 5 million visited in 2018. Unfortunately, one of the inevitable impacts of this disease is xenophobia. Marco Wong, a local town councillor in the Tuscan town of Prato, home to a large Chinese population, told the Guardian. Parents aren't sending their children to school if there are Chinese classmates, and people are writing on the internet not to go to Chinese shops and restaurants. There's also a lot of fears over the coronavirus have affected the Chinese populations in other countries, too. Well, let's back up. The European country with the worst outbreak of the Wuhan virus, or the coronavirus, is, let me guess, Luxembourg. No, Italy! Where there is a large Chinese population working in northern Italy. They're workers. I ask, in a country with high unemployment, how did that happen? Well, the news stories don't tell us. But there's a large Chinese population, a lot of visitors from China, because, of course, Italy is one of the cultural cradles of the Western world, great tourist place. No wonder there is concern. Fears over the coronavirus have affected Chinese populations in other countries, too. On Wednesday, the mayor of Toronto condemned racism against Chinese Canadians, and there have even been reports of anti-Asian racism in the UK. And this is quite true. We have a Chinese woman who's the chief medical officer of health for the whole country, and Teresa Tam, T-A-M. And up until quite recently, in almost every public pronouncement she made, she condemned racism and targeting of communities. I would put it a little differently. I would call it race realism and a healthy concern about people from those communities who had recently visited that area of China. That's not racism, that's realism. I might not have to worry too much about the presence of a native Canadian Indian who has not been out of the country in his whole life and has not been near any people from China. I recognize a different race, but I also recognize the degree of danger or lack of danger, as the case might be. And back to the Boohoo article. In France, Chinese residents have been sharing their experiences using the hashtag Je ne suis pas un virus. I'm not a virus. One young woman calling herself Forky wrote on Twitter, "Not all Asians are Chinese. Not all Chinese were born in China. And not all have been there. An Asian who coughs doesn't have the coronavirus necessarily. Insulting an Asian because of the virus is like insulting a Muslim because of the bombings." Well, Muslims, while it's absolutely true, not all Muslims are terrorists or support terrorists. But some do. Many do. And I think people have every right to be cautious. Call it racism if you like. I call it race realism. Until they know differently. There has been particular criticism of a front page headline in the Courrier Picard, a local newspaper, Alerte Jaune, or Yellow Alert. One man, like Red Alert, this is the Yellow Alert. One man told France TV that he'd been approached while buying vegetables in a supermarket in Strasbourg by a woman who demanded what nationality he was and if I had the virus. He added, "I wouldn't say what happened was racist, but there was a strong prejudice." No, there's a strong concern. Economies are crashing. People are dying. A death rate of over 500 for several days in Italy. That's from 500 a day. Of over 500 in Spain. People are dying from this thing. We know it came from China. Yes, not all Chinese have been back to China or been with people who have been back to China. Not all Chinese have the virus. Of course not. And the further little quibble is true. Not all Asian people are Chinese. Sacha Lin Chung, a representative of the Association of Chinese Residents in France, told VFM TV, quote, "People are refusing to be served by Asian people in shops. A woman was thrown off a train because she was Asian, and so it was obvious she was carrying the virus. This adds to the racism and stereotypes about the Chinese that already exist." No, they've got some explaining to do. Now, um, Matteo Salvini, the leader of Italy's nationalistic League Party, formerly the League of the North, stepped up his anti-immigration message. Quote, every day dozens of flights arrive in Italy from China. We need checks, checks, and more checks.
Oh, that's racist.
Really? Now in Canada, you return from abroad, from outside the country, you must go into quarantine. It's assumed you have the virus. They don't check you. Oh, that costs too much money. We don't have the resources. Foolish us. But we'll punish you. You have to go into quarantine for 14 days. Other episodes reported in China, in Italian media included two Chinese tourists being spat at by a group of children in Venice, and three Chinese tourists being insulted in a restaurant in Turin. Oh, well, they can always go home, can't they? One tourist was reportedly prevented from entering Pompeii's archaeological park. Another was insulted on a train, and a Chinese boy playing in a football match near Milan was told by an opponent, I hope you get the virus too. Well, there's always childish behavior. There have been long queues in chemists across the country to purchase face masks. Roberta Siliquini, a former president of Italy's Higher Health Council, told The Guardian the paranoia was unsurprising, even if it went beyond all logical sense. Okay, when was this article from The Guardian? January 31st. Let's read that last bitchy comment. Roberta Siliquini, former president of Italy's Higher Health Council, said the paranoia was unsurprising, even if it went beyond logical sense. She went on to say, in Italy, we have a strange relationship with immigration, but also with health aspects. It's a country in which people don't want to be vaccinated against measles, but are scared of Chinese persons standing 50 meters away. While it's very possible that we could import cases of the virus, we have one of the most efficient control systems in the world. Whose health system, 6 weeks later, is crashing? Luxembourg's. Nope, Italy's. Remember, this article is January the 31st. Give or take 54, 55 days ago. And even this health expert says that Italy has one of the most efficient control systems in the world. And this is paranoia beyond logical sense. You still think so? With your health system crashing from the number of people with the virus? This is serious. You know, of course, most people who get the virus will have only mild symptoms. 20% may have fairly severe symptoms, and a small minority will have life-endangering systems. Symptoms, and between 1% and 4%, mostly the elderly, will die. Italy is now under almost complete lockdown. People are confined to their homes, allowed to go out only to buy food, medicine, or to walk within their neighborhood. It's the same in France. This has all occurred in less than 2 months. So were those Italians who were a little bit leery of the Chinese visitors or Chinese people there, were they being paranoid? You know, I mean, they're mentally ill, these people. No. Not at all. And, of course, we've heard of the tourist ships and the cruise ships, which have been a source of a lot of these
cases. There's things we don't know about this completely. But in every case, they know that the virus got aboard the ship from a person who'd been in Wuhan, a Chinese who'd been in Wuhan, a person on the cruise. They brought it on and it spread. So consider caution about Chinese people is not racist, but we don't even know what the term racist means. It just means you're bad. It's not paranoia. It's not irrational. It's entirely reasonable. And this is the time to say that. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. Going to take my musical break tonight, and like to play some bluegrass music, which is also given to me by, or recorded for me by two good friends in St. Louis, Missouri, former members, well, the members of the Council of Conservative Citizens like me. Mark Palazzolo was a board of directors member like me, and his wife Tina, great support. I want to thank them for thinking of me and sending this up my way. And I'm glad to share it with you. This is a collection of bluegrass music.
I warm you up, warm you up, say. I ain't got time to kiss you now, the news done run away. F. Johnson had an old gray mule, his name was Simon Slate. Back his ears and lift his tail, how that mule would kick. I warm you up, warm you up, say. Competition now, and you done run away. I heard a story about a boy and his gal been backed up in the mountains. This is back in them days in the Eastern Corridor mules, don't you know? This old feller's mules done got loose from a hitch ride. He's a trying to get his mule and his gal friend together for all he's worth and can't do nothing with it. That feller sure got some troubles. I warm you up, warm you up, I holler. I tie a knot in the old mule's tail just to hear him bellow. Well, if I had a little and pretty fine as I could sew, I'd sew my sweetheart to my back and down the road I'd go. I warm you up, warm you up, I say. I ain't got time to kiss him now, and you'll run away. Thank you, Brave Bob. Come here, and you'll call. There he is. He's talking to you now, sweetheart. I warm you up, Miss Liza, keep cool. Keep your seat, everyone, I'm messing with my mule. Kissing now, and you done run away. I warm you up, warm you, I say. Ain't got time, kissing now, and you done run away. I'm back here, you fucking critters, I fear you. Whoa, you jughead. Whoa, Mew. Hey, Mew. Wait right there, Lyle. I'll be right back. Whoa, Mew. Hey, oh, come on, Mew. Whoa. Stop, John.
caught him, wrung his neck and picked him clean. Funniest chicken I ever seen. Hey,
Bartholomew, oh, Bartholomew,
hey,
Bartholomew, you're the one for me.
Walking in the lot, make three tracks and just one dot. Never says who you think I am. Bad hog missing the bow and ham. Hey,
Bartholomew, oh, Bartholomew,
hey,
Bartholomew, you're the one for me.
Behind the bars,
hey, Bartholomew,
oh, Bartholomew,
hey, Bartholomew, you're the one for me.
Ned put on her Sunday dress, thought the aunt would look the best, made out of an old feed sack, ought to be wrote right on the back.
Hey, Bartholomew,
oh, Bartholomew,
hey, Bartholomew, you're the one for me.
She'll choose, so why the heck she got the blues? Well, wants to wear a size 22.
Hey, Bartholomew,
oh,
Bartholomew,
hey,
Bartholomew, you're the one for me.
Thank you.
Tonight, as always, do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Prong, and you're on the fighting side of me here on altrighttv.com and whiteresistanceradio.com.
In days of yore from Britain's shore, Wolf the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave a our pride and joined in love together. The thistle, shamrock, rose and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. And Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never.